Good morning to you, wonderful people here at Porter Church. You're the best group of people I've seen since last Sunday. Welcome to each and every one of you this morning. It's a beautiful day, beautiful people, wonderful time to come together to praise our great God. I want to share with you from Psalms 90. This is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth and forever, Thou hast formed the earth, and the world even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, you children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as a yesterday, when it passed, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as was a flood, and they are as sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in thy sight, and thy contentance. For all our days are passed away in the wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it soon be cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thy anger, even thou in the fear? So is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, and how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, and we rejoice and be glad in all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein thou hast seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto thy children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of your hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Amen.
Hymn of worship is for him, using number 230, singing the first and fourth verse, and I will have the prayer. It's all stand.
I'm pressing on the upward way, my life's a rain in every day, still praying as I'm upward bound, but let my feet on higher ground. Be up and let me stand, my feet on heaven.
Father in heaven, we thank thee again for the privilege you granted us together in your house on the Lord's Day. As we come around here to worship, please be with each individual. They open their hearts and minds and see the message of the hour. Be with us in the song service. Guide, guard, and direct us, and save us in the end. Our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now for communion hymn, we're going to be number 363, first and fourth.
Give myself for me, I owe no.
said to them, with this I have desired to eat Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof, until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and said, this is divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given to you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, the cup is new testament in my blood, which I shed for you. Till we pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have together here to take the Holy Communion. As we protect the infant, help us remember the bread represents Jesus' broken body, and the juice represents his blood that he shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that we might have eternal life. Father, we thank you for this great sacrifice, and we come now and ask for that forgiveness when we fail you. We ask this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, this opportunity, this privilege which is ours as we come together around the Lord's table as we bring offerings, Heavenly Father. You have promised through the Old Testament time, through New Testament time, that you provide for your people. And you do that quite well, and we thank you for that. You do that through our labors and provisions that you provide for us that way. For the retirements that people have labored for, you provide for them in that way. So we bring a portion of that back to our Heavenly Father, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll help us to use it in a way, Heavenly Father, to bring glory and honor to you, and certainly to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In your name we praise you. Amen. Okay, some good things to share with you. It's so good to be here. This afternoon, for those who are going to participate in the ceremony centennial planning, 3 o'clock, you'll be here. We're so glad to hear that several of you are going to do that for us. As I was looking, the dedication of this building was on the 8th, 11th of 18. And at that time, then they had a 2-week revival. That set off then for a 2-week revival. Yeah. So we're looking forward to a good time. A lot of things that we'll need to work out for that. Appreciate your help. Then Bible study tonight at 5 o'clock. Let's see, anything else happening? Okay, our prayer list then. And we have some of our folks are absent this morning, a couple of them because they're ill, and then a couple of them for they're traveling. And so glad that you're here. We keep the light shining, and God keeps blessing all of our people. That's wonderful, wonderful. But we do have folks on our prayer list, and number one, we see that Pauline is not with us this morning. We continue to pray for Pauline, that she would be strengthened up, be able to be back, and she really misses not being here, that's for sure. This is one of the church's a great part of her life, and we just pray that she'll be able to be back with us. And we did get a call from Ada this week, and Dale was taken to the hospital Friday night or Thursday night. And but he came back, and so hopefully that things will work out that way and work good for him. And so they certainly need your prayers, God's healing, God's strength. And the rest of the folks on our prayer list, as we have shared with you from time to time, what's taking place, and so you pretty well know, and keep praying for each and every one of them, and Keith and Kim, we heard some from them. Peggy was telling me that she talked to them this morning, they're in Albuquerque, New Mexico, or somewhere there, and so they're just having a fine time. And that's great. We just we miss them, but we are so glad, you know, I'm so glad that people that has the means and be able to travel and see this great country that God. See, we just we live in the best part of the nation as far as that goes, and we see the good part here in Kentucky. But there's a lot of beauty out in this nation that most of us probably will never see that is out there. And we're glad that those folks and whoever of you that can travel and vacation and see those sites that God has created. So be in prayer for them as they continue to do that. I'm missing several here this morning. Terrible things that we see here happening across the nation, and people are, I know you, like all other people, are saying, when is it going to stop? When is it going to stop that we hear these terrible things happening, especially among our young people? It's so sad. And then even another nation had a big plane crash, just, you know, 100 some people killed there, and some flooding taking place this week in various areas, and so there was property damage. I haven't heard of anybody dying in any flood, as far as that, no, I don't. But I do know that there was a lot of property damage because of the flooded areas and so forth. So those people, certainly pray for those people that they can get the right help and be able to get things back into proper order for them. A lot of things taking place there. And so the service people, naturally, keep them in our prayers. And those who are in the care homes, assisted living, keep them in your prayers. Keep this church family in your prayers. Let this church family be well, be strengthened, and that we might grow in not only in number, but in spirit and truth, and that we might be great workers for the Lord. And I'll share with you myself tomorrow. I thought I was going to hear last week, because week ago Thursday, I went back in the tube and got some exams and so forth, and I thought I'd hear last week, but the doctor called her part of last week and made an appointment for tomorrow. So we're going tomorrow to get results from that. Maxine was talking to them, the lady that called, and so she asked her, and so, I mean, I don't know what this means, but anyhow, it means good anyhow. But anyhow, Maxine said, well, how did the results come out? And so the whoever she was talking to, she said, well, I think they're better. So that's great. I hope that they are. I'm convinced that they probably will be. So what that meant, I don't know. But anyhow, for you email people, when we get the results, well, we'll give you an email, and you can praise the Lord with the spark, because we're looking for good things to happen. And all that because of you people have boasted us up in your prayers, and we thank you for that. We really know. I don't have time to tell you, and I wouldn't share it with you anyhow. But there's twice this last 2 weeks, God has done a couple of exceptional things in my life that I just didn't think, you know, that they would happen. And when I got to it, there it was. You know, God is so good. God is so good. We just got to keep that faith strength and strong. Keep believing, keep trusting in God, and He'll make those things happen. He's so good. I'm so glad He does wonderful things for you people. I mean, it's so great to see God working in our church family and see good things that He's doing. And in our, you know, God's still doing good things in our nation. And God is over all things, and He's a sovereign God, and God knows what's taking place, and He knows what's going to take place. But this one thing, I'm convinced, He will take care of His children. Trust Him for it. All right, as we come to our prayer time, we're so very, very, very thankful, but yet we have some needs. Yes, Virgil?
Memorial Day time.
Okay, you know, I did almost forget that, didn't I? Next Sunday, we're going to be a half hour earlier on our Bible study, I mean our Sunday school, because of the folks will be here at the cemetery then at 10:30. So, yeah. So starting time next week will be 9:30. So mark that and don't forget. All right, let us come to our prayer time with thanksgiving.
For our prayer hymn, we use number 87, first and last verse, and Jerry will have a prayer. It's all dead.
Thank you. thankful we have this building to come into and worship you in truth and spirit. As we lift up those that are less fortunate, those that are on beds of affliction, those that are still attending doctors and physicians that came to them, we pray a blessing upon them. Miss Judy, she's still having a rough time, and we know that you're with her. We'll lift her up this coming week. And dear Father, we're just thankful for all the blessings of life you give us each and every day. Be with Donna, she's traveling in Tennessee and all that. Kim and Keith, a long journey out there, keep them safe as they return back. Dear Father, we thank you for everything you do for us each and every day. We're thankful for your love and your watch care. Again, Father, pray with Brother Benny to bring the morning's message. They will have open hearts and minds to receive your word. Forgive us, Father, for the many shortcomings that we do have. For these things we pray in your Son's heavenly name. Amen.
Amen. The invitation here will be number 366. This time the choir will bring a special.
Thank you, Kathleen and choir. Love that. They cried holy. Well, the great wedding took place yesterday. All the glory. Did you see the glory of the great wedding yesterday? And you know, I didn't watch a bunch of it. I saw some of it, sketches of it. And as that young guy, Henry, he's standing there with his eye on that door, waiting for his beautiful bride to come in, you know. And what a time that is. What a feeling that must be. What an anticipation that must have been. And you know what I thought about also? Something greater than that. You know who you are? We're going to turn that around because you're the bride. And you've got that eye out for the groom to come. And one day, and it might be sooner than what we think, he's going to come for his bride. That will be more glorious than any wedding reception that took place on this earth when that happens. Amen. Now, I mentioned about the coming, about the church in 8:11 and 18, and Hawkins, I think, was a preacher here. There's been 31 preachers, if I count right, 31 preachers since that have been here in this church that you had. Great, great. Now, this morning, our subject is from chapter 6, book of Daniel. And I know that you all know the stories of Daniel and so forth and the lion's den, but we're not going to talk about the lion's den this morning, but we will next week. Or not next week either, because next week is Memorial Week and we'll have it 2 weeks from today. And I just titled it, I mean, it's a very familiar title and it's been used many times, Dare to be a Daniel. But the thing I want to impress upon you a little bit is not so much Daniel, because he stands real high in my sight, but the word dare to be a Daniel. That word dare, you know, that's have courage enough to stand up for what's right. To do something difficult that most other people wouldn't do, that's dare. I know most of you probably played that game. I forget how it goes, I dare you over, you know, and so forth. And that's used in a different sense, but if you use it in the synonym sense, it means to do those things which, you know, others won't do, to have courage to do it. And I have to think, and God forgive me if I'm wrong, and I'm not trying to judge people or put people down, but I think that right now, the church itself as a whole is demonstrating the lack of courage to stand up for what's right. I do not hear the church voicing out against a lot of the things that are happening today. It appears like we're just letting it happen. And so we need to dare to be a Daniel, to stand up and courageously to face some of those things and all. I hope that we can see some of that as we go through this message this morning. You know, read this little story. And it said this man and his wife was walking through the cemetery. And this one stone caught this guy's eye. And he said, "Come here. Come, Martha, look." And it said on there, "An honest man and a politician." And she said, "Martha, there's two men buried in that grave." You know, but you know, it's almost too hard to believe today that there can be a politician who's honest, isn't it? But when I read Daniel, he's a politician. But boy, he is a squeaky clean politician. And we look at some of his life and see what happens. It's tremendous for us. Daniel was squeaky clean, and he could work among the crooks, which they were. Oh, we got crooks today, believe it or not, do we not, in our political arena? And they were in David's time, but he could work among those in the worst of positions and still stay true to the commitment that he had made to God. And I say to you, friends, this morning, that you and I can dare to be a Daniel, and we can stand up with those politicians or whoever it might be that is against godliness and Christianity and so forth. We need to stand up against that. At a young age, Daniel was taken from Jerusalem, as you know, and we've read and we've talked about. His beloved holy city, where he enjoyed the rich blessings of God. When you consider Daniel's early life, the Jew in Jerusalem, God's people, and God blessed them, and he was free, had the privilege and the joy of going to the temple daily and worshiping the holy city, and now he's taken away from it at a young age, taken to Babylon, put in the College of the Chaldeans to be schooled to help governor Nebuchadnezzar's empire. Daniel dared, as you remember, to refuse the king's table. Now see, if you understand that word dare, it took some courage. Don't you think it took a little bit of courage? Maybe a whole lot of courage to say, now look, we're not going to eat that food. We want a different diet. He dared to refuse the food from the king's table. He dared to challenge those who were over him. Him along with his friends, which later was called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were given the special diet that they asked for. And I want us to see as we go through some of this that as Daniel and them dared to stand against some of these things, dared to speak out, things happened. God worked wonderful things in their lives. He was taken. He dared to refuse. And the thing that made Daniel the person he was, we find early in this book of Daniel. And it was this two words that I find there that really made him who he was. It said, Daniel purposed. Daniel purposed in his heart. He made up his mind. He made a choice. In his early young ages here, he purposed in his heart. He resolved. I don't know how many words we could use to try to get that. He made up his mind. He had made life's decision at an early age. He was going to serve God. He was going to do what God had for him to do. He was going to do that which was right in the sight of God. And folks, everything else in his life just flowed around him. Now, everything that Daniel did and everything that happened to Daniel, you can take it right back to the fact that Daniel purposed. He resolved, he made a choice, he made up his mind, and because he did that and was going to serve God, everything else just flowed right around him. You with me? Isn't life that? Life is just choices, isn't it? You know, life, that's all life is choices. We make our decisions and you know what? Those decisions makes us. We make decisions, those decisions makes us. That happens in the early years. I don't think we realize sometimes how important the decisions we make in our early years of our life, how they impact our lives. It's just a series of lives and choices, and we make those decisions. Decisions turn around and make us, and because of those decisions that you made years ago, most of the time we don't realize how important they are. But look, did you realize that most of the decisions you made in your youth made you what you are today? And there's a lot of decisions we have to make, a lot of choices we have to make in our youth. Especially, you know, when we're young and we're full of vigor and so forth, and we must make decisions. And I never realized that some of the decisions I made in my young life that they would affect me today as they do. And you people probably didn't either, but it does. The choices we make, the decisions we make many years ago, they affect us right now. Especially true. And, you know, what are the, you know, decisions we make when you get out of school? Right now, a lot of young people are fixing to graduate and they got to make a decision. Where am I going to go to college? And what am I going to study when I get there? And those are decisions that's going to make what they end up to be. And they're going to make that decision at age 17, 18 years of age. And that will have a great impact on who they are throughout their lives. What are they going to major? What college are they going to go to? Next one, should I get married? And if I get married, who should I marry? Those are decision choices that we make, and sometimes we just make them so lightly we don't consider that that's going to affect us. You know, I mean, whoever you choose to marry, that's going to affect your life till the end of life. That's for sure. And you, what movies am I going to watch? What music am I going to listen to? Those are important decisions that we make. Who's going to be my best friends? And that has a great impact upon your life. My father got, I told a story about my father getting on one of my older brothers one time, and told him he shouldn't be running with that crowd. And he said, "Well, you can't tell me who I can't make friends with." Oh, yes, but he could. But you know, because who you make friends with, well, the choice, the people you choose to be around, the people you choose to associate with, will make you what you are. Those are choices that you make. Make those choices. What will I, concerts will I attend? You make a choice. Will I drink? Will I have drugs? Do drugs? Will I stay pure? All those are decisions. They're choices that we have to make. Those are the decisions we make, and what we choose will make us. Daniel chose to honor God. Daniel chose to honor God with his life. Daniel dared to be different. Daniel lived in a world that was much different than what he was used to. And he dared to be different in that world in which he lived. Do you think our world is what God intended for it to be? Do you think our nation is what God intended for it to be? I don't think so. I don't think that God ever intended for his people to live in a world of hatred and bigotry. I really don't think that God intended for us to live in a nation filled with violence at all. I don't think that God intended us or wants us to live in a nation where young people burn their brains out taking LSD and drugs and so forth. I don't think God wants us to live in a nation where thousands of babies are legally aborted yearly. I don't think that God intended us for live in a nation where the children will grow up and when the children will go to school in fear of coming home dead. Do you think God wanted family disordered as it is today? Men marrying men and women marrying women? No. Do you think that God wants men, women, boys, and girls to die at a fast pace with AIDS? Should I go on? No. Could I go on? The rest of the day, probably. Folks, we're living in a far different world than what God intended for it to be. And we people, we need to be people that dare to be a Daniel, to make a difference in the culture we are now living in. In a world that Daniel lived in, he dared to live a different life, and he made a difference in the world that he lived in. Can't go into all that took place, but we do know that from Daniel's life, and he lived his life according to God, and it did change people. Nebuchadnezzar, if you caught it right, if you read it or heard it out of the message right, Daniel changed a king. In fact, Daniel changed the thinking of two kings. And he's going to change the thinking of another king and another king before he's finished. Nebuchadnezzar was a bold, boisterous man. Pride filled him till he almost busted. But Daniel's life caused that man to say, I honor God, the God of heaven and earth. So Daniel lived in a world different from him, and he lived different from the world, and in doing so, he changed that world considerably. We had here, week before last or last week, Belshazzar. Oh, yeah, we know what happened to him, but before he died, what happened? Daniel, his life had convinced that man that there was a God, and he pronounced that. Dare to be a Daniel. You know, to think about Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar and all the power that he had, and when he was called to tell him the dream, he dared to tell him the truth. You know, it took courage, didn't it? I would have thought it took courage to walk up to the king and say, here's your dream, Mr. King. You're going to go out and graze with the cattle for 7 years. You're going to walk on your all four like the animals. Live with the beasts for 7 years. And this kingdom that you stand on your rooftop and brag about, it's going to be divided in four places, four things. He dared to tell Nebuchadnezzar that. We know when he come into with Belshazzar, he was called into a drunken party. That's where the hand written on the wall. Just a hand, no arm, no body, but the hand, the fingers wrote on the wall. And Daniel was called in to siphon them words. All the wise men wouldn't do that. Why? Even though I believe they could have, they wouldn't do it because they feared for his life. But Daniel dared to stand before Belshazzar and say, King, your days are numbered and your days is done. I mean, that took courage. Dared to be a Daniel, to do something nobody else. He did something all the hundreds of wise men wouldn't do. But Daniel did it. Sometimes you are probably have been or will be called upon to do something nobody else will do. Will you dare to be a Daniel? I hope you will. I hope you will. Daniel, when you read about Daniel, every time that Daniel stood up for what was right, and that's in the sight of God, and he did what was right in the sight of God always. I mean, he was near a perfect man, but he wasn't perfect. But he was near as anybody could get. But when Daniel stood up, and when he dared to do those things that nobody else would do, you know what the Bible says that happened? He told Belshazzar, your days are numbered and today's your day. You know what Belshazzar did before he died? Of course, he had promised that to all the wise men. He put Daniel in third place. Give him gifts. Even though Daniel said, I don't want your gifts, he gives them. Put him in third place. Now, I don't know whether Belshazzar's father was dead or not, but I kind of think he was. I think he got killed off down there playing the devilish things in another part of the country. But if he was living, he would have been number one. Belshazzar would have been number two. Daniel was number three. But if his dad was dead, it would have been queen. Belshazzar's mother would have been the one, Belshazzar two, and Daniel three. Every time that Daniel dared to do that which he needed to do, God did something tremendously with him. Now, I don't know. I think I do know. Daniel was in now third position. Now, I don't know, as I told you before, between these chapters, there's a span of time. I don't know how many days, months, or whatever, between the end of 5 and the first of 6. But there has to be a span of time. In that span of time, Daniel is in third place in the now new kingdom. It was the Babylonian kingdom. Now it's the Medo-Persian kingdom, because Darius, you know, slipped under the, drained the river, slipped under the wall, and he took the life of Belshazzar by sword that night before the drunken party was ended. He died. So now, from that time to verse 1 of chapter 6, we have Daniel then in charge. He's in third position. Now, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three princesses of which, and over these three princes of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, what happened? Darius, see, so I say there has to be a length of time between the end of 5 and first of 6. Because Darius has now planned out, and he's got 120 areas. And I'll just use governors because it's familiar. So he's got 120 governors taking care of this state or whatever, or this territory, 120 of them out there. It was a vast territory. Now, he selects three of the wisest over the 120. Why? He can't trust his governors. He wants these three honest people to be able then to watch over all the governors to see that they don't steal from Darius or from the Medo-Persian kingdom. But notice something else. What did he do with Daniel? He put Daniel the head of the three. So Darius knew something of Daniel, didn't he? He put him ahead of the three. So Daniel then was to see that the other two presidents would be honest, would not cause loss to the Darius and the Persian kingdom and so forth. And they had to see that all the governors had to be honest. But Daniel was what? He's now moved out of third position, hasn't he? Who promoted him? Darius? Oh, yeah. We would say that. But we know who promoted him, don't we? Let's look a little farther. And so, Daniel. Daniel never boasted about what he did or what he had. He just went on doing his work and honoring God. I see Daniel, and I think when the drunken party was going on, Belshazzar, no one's having it, I think Daniel was in his apartment or whatever. He was in the palace. The queen mother was in her part of the palace, fixing to go to bed, you remember. Daniel had a place in the palace, and he was there. But I think Daniel was there. He was communing with God. He was communing with God. Everything that Daniel did, he did honoring God. And for God, and the ways of God. And so now Darius reigns, and he puts Daniel in first charge under him. That's for sure. Now, we won't get into it, but Darius probably was under, I lost his name. You know who I'm talking about. That could have been king. That was probably king. He was over Darius. But nevertheless, three presidents over 120, and that Daniel was over them. The president governed. Now, what took place? let me read on down here. Bear with me, if you will. Then, see, he's over all the presidents, and they're over all the governors. Verse 4, we're going to pick up. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. Oh, my, here's jealousy. Is that jealousy taking place? Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, this is all the wise men now, and all these the presidents and the governors, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find against him concerning the law of his God. We got to find a fault with him as God. But friends, let's move. Then the presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto the king, Darius, live forever. Oh, they really try to, what do they call that? They sucking up to him, aren't they? And all the presidents of the kingdom, and the governors and the princes and counselors, and the captains and the counselors together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whoever shall ask a petition of any god, what do they know here? They know where God, they know where Daniel was, don't they? And they know that Daniel prayed three times to God. Any petition of God, any man for 30 days shall the king shall he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing that it was changed according to the law, that it could not change according to the law of Medes and the Persians, in which it altered that. So if you sign this, what they're telling the king, this is his advice. If you sign this, you know, according to the law of Medes and Persians, it can't be changed. And we notice a time or two that the wise men had the kings to do something that they were sorry for. Nebuchadnezzar was sorry that he did what he did. And so they're getting Darius here to do something that he's going to be sorry he did too also. Wherefore the king Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now then Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went to his house, and his window being open to the chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees and three times a day and prayed and gave thanks unto God as he did before time. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of God or man within 30 days shall they, O king, shall be cast in a den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. He can't change his mind. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. We're going to stop right there. Jealousy, hatred. Isn't that a terrible thing today? Jealousy, hatred. That's of Satan. That's of Satan. It comes from the devil. And so we're going to stop right there, and we'll pick up there week after next, and we'll go into the lion's den. But here's what I want you to go home with. If nothing else, I want you to go home with this. And I wrote these out, hopefully that they are understandable. A couple things I'd like for you to do. When you dare to, understand this, when you dare to be a Daniel, when you dare to be different in a world that's different from that which God intended to be, God will use you to make a difference in the world around you. You might not make a difference in China. But I don't think I preached a sermon about the little world that we live in. But if you will do what's right in the sight of God, if you will dare to be a Daniel, God will change the world in which you live in. You with me? That'll happen. And secondly is this. If you are going to make a difference in your life and the lives of people around you, you will have to make some choices. And you'll have to make a choice to honor God. That was Daniel's choice, wasn't it? He did that early in his life. He purposed in his heart. He made a choice to honor God in any and all phases of life. And that choice you will have to make. Third one is this, and the greatest choice you can make is to purpose in your heart to make Jesus first in your life. Fourth and lastly is this. Everything Daniel dared to do, which was right in the sight of God, God promoted him. God rewarded him. And the greatest reward of God is a promotion to eternal life made possible through Jesus Christ. I hope that you have that. If not, you can have it this morning as we stand and sing. Let us stand, please. First verse only. Near to the heart of God, there is a place. Near to the heart of God, a place where sin. Near to the heart of God. From the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, heart of God. Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house. And hey, I want to encourage you, you know, do it like Daniel did. But I want to encourage you this week to dare to be a Daniel. You know, great things will happen. Doodle wasn't on our list this morning, so we'll ask him to ask his prayer, if you will, Doodle.
Father, once again, we're thankful for being in the house this morning. We pray that you be with us in our lives. Pray that you be with us this coming week. Be safe in my service.
Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.